Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So if you've ever been mat-side at a wrestling match, you see this flurry of action, the whistle blows, and then the referee signals some, complex, often really confusing set of points. Then this deep dive is definitely for you. Today, we are cracking the code on one of the most technical sports out there. We've been going through referee training manuals, procedural guides, really focusing in on the 2024-25 season. Our goal is to give you the ultimate shortcut to understanding the modern rules of high school wrestling.
Yeah, and we're really keyed in on the scholastic level here, the NFHS rules that state associations like the MHSAA enforce. And our mission is, well, it's pretty simple. We want to make sure that the next time you're watching a match, you know exactly why the score suddenly jumped from 2-1 to 6-1 in what looked like a single move.
And we really have to start with what feels like a tectonic shift in scoring. It just fundamentally changes the strategy this year.
Absolutely. If you take one thing away from this, just one, remember this. The takedown is no longer worth 2 points.
Okay, so let's dig right into that. The takedown, the ultimate offensive move, it's now worth 3 points.
It's a huge, a 50% increase in the value of taking a risk, of being offensive. It completely shifts the calculus. It's explicitly designed to reward aggression. I mean, think about it. If you're trailing by a couple of points, you used to need 2 separate takedowns to really catch up. Now 1 takedown, maybe an escape, and you're suddenly in a commanding position.
So the days of those slow, methodical matches where wrestlers just kind of wait for the other person to make a mistake, those might be over. If the payoff is 3 points, it just encourages shooting, right?
Precisely. And strategically, if you're up by a point late in the match, you might think twice about just cutting your opponent loose for an easy escape. Because giving up that 1 point is one thing, but giving them a 3-point takedown opportunity right after, that's a devastating swing. The T3 change makes every neutral exchange so much more dangerous and, frankly, more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get too deep into the points, we need to establish the single most important concept in all of wrestling rules, and that's control.
Control. Why is that the foundation for everything?
Because control is what dictates the scoring.
Yeah.
I mean, control is established when one wrestler exercises what the rules call restraining power over an opponent. So don't just think of it as dominance. Think of it as the ability to dictate position. If you get control from neutral, that's a takedown. If you get it from the bottom position, it's a reversal. If the opponent on top loses control, you get an escape. Everything, every single point flows from that moment of gaining restraining power.
And control used to be incredibly difficult to maintain near the edge of the mat. It led to so many stoppages, so many controversial out-of-bounds calls.
And that's where the 2024-25 rulebook has brought some really crucial clarity for officials. They've introduced the 1 point of contact rule.
That sounds simple, but what does it mean in, like, a real match?
It means that to score, or even just to maintain control near the boundary, a wrestler now only needs 1 point of contact, a hand, a knee, a foot inside, or even just touching the boundary line. That's it. The old rules were much stricter. They often required, a majority of the body to be in bounds, or for the move to start and end clearly inside the lines.
Wow. So that dramatically expands the usable scoring area, which again just feeds right back into that aggressive 3-point takedown strategy. The action can keep going even if a wrestler looks like they're halfway into the stands.
Let me paint you the picture. The scenario that used to cause arguments at every single tournament. The green wrestler shoots a fantastic double leg right near the boundary line. They drive red down to the mat. Red's back is exposed. But wait, green's entire torso is outside the line. His left foot is completely out of bounds.
Okay, and under the old rules, that's an immediate whistle. Everyone's walking back to the center for a restart. No points. A lot of frustration.
But now, with the 1 point of contact rule, the referee looks down and spots Green's right knee just touching the actual boundary line as Red hits the mat. That single point of contact is the anchor. The call is takedown. 3 points, Green. The move is considered finished in bounds. It rewards the wrestler who actually completed the action, and it keeps the match flowing.
So we've established that finishing a move is now paramount. You get 3 points for it. You have a much bigger mat to work with. But let's go back to establishing control for that T3, especially in those really messy, contested situations.
Right. This is where we talk about the difference between a controlled move and just a mutual scramble. And this is where officials really earn their money. The definition requires that control must be established on the mat and sustained, and this is the key phrase, beyond reaction time.
Okay, but that sounds almost impossible to officiate. If two wrestlers just crash on the mat in a tangle, How is an official supposed to tell the difference between a mutual tumble and who had control beyond reaction time?
Right.
Doesn't that just invite controversy?
It does, and it requires the official to look for that brief but very clear moment of restraining power. Take the classic scramble. Green gets in deep and elevates Red's leg high, but Red is hopping, he's fighting, he manages to reach down and grab Green's ankle. They both just tumble down together in a heap. Neither one has a clear advantage.
So if they just crashed simultaneously like that in that wild, uncontrolled way, who gets the points?
Likely neither of them. It's ruled neutral, action continues on the mat. Or the ref might call a stalemate if the position is dangerous or just static. Look, if there's no clear application of restraining power, if it's just two bodies hitting the mat, you can't award the T3. The official has to ask, did one wrestler clearly dominate the fall and land in a position of authority, or was it just a mutual, uncontrolled mess?
And this really ties back to the NFHS focus on developing athletes, doesn't it?
Right.
An uncontrolled crash landing is exactly what they want to avoid. The rules push officials to reward clean, dominant control, which is just inherently safer.
Exactly. It favors clean technique and safety over, you know, just pure brute force.
All right, let's talk about the situation that creates the biggest scoring swings in a match. The reversal versus what I'm calling the dreaded four-point dilemma.
A reversal is pretty straightforward. It's 2 points. It's awarded when the bottom wrestler gains control of the opponent directly without getting to a neutral position first. It's one continuous motion, a quick switch or roll through. They go from being underneath to being on top. 2 points.
Yeah.
Simple.
But the sequence that confuses everyone, especially now with a 3-point takedown, is the 4-point move. That's the 1-point escape plus the 3-point takedown.
And it's often mistaken for a reversal because it can all happen in a flash, but the distinction is absolutely critical. The entire difference is the achievement of neutrality.
Okay, so give us that famous 4-point spin scenario we found in the training materials. How does that officially become 4 points?
All right, let's say Red is on the bottom. Red starts a stand-up. He pushes away. Green loses their grip around Red's waist. Okay, so at that exact moment, Red turns and squares up to face Green. That brief moment where Green has lost restraining power and Red is now facing him, that's the moment Red achieves the neutral position. And that earns Red 1 point for the escape.
Okay, so the board is reset. They're neutral.
They're neutral. So when Red immediately shoots a deep single leg and secures control on the mat boom, that's a brand new 3-point takedown.
So 1 plus 3. There's your 4 points. But what if that whole thing, the escape, the face up, the shot, the takedown, what if that happens in 2 seconds flat? To the naked eye, it looks like one move.
It is still escape plus takedown. The moment the bottom wrestler breaks that grip and faces his opponent, he has, by rule, given the other wrestler an opportunity for reaction time.
Mm.
The rules say that once they are facing each other, they are neutral. Even if it's for a fraction of a second, that tiny pause, that reset, is what separates the 2-point reversal from that massive 4-point offensive surge.
So the lesson there is clear. Achieving that square stance from the bottom is incredibly high risk, but also high reward. You might get 4 points, but if you hesitate for even a second, you just gave up your advantage.
Now let's pivot into back points, or as they're officially called, the near fall. These are the points that can really pile up late in a match and lead to those sudden dramatic finishes.
Right, and we know the criteria. Either the opponent's back is exposed at an angle of 45 degrees or less to the mat,
mm-hmm.
or both shoulders are held within 4 inches of the mat.
And the scoring is unique. It's cumulative. It's basically a timing mechanism based on the total time a wrestler is held in that exposed position.
2 seconds of exposure gets you 2 points. 3 total seconds, 3 points. And 4 total seconds of exposure earns 4 points. And the key detail there, as you said, is that the count is cumulative within the same sequence.
And this is a major point of confusion for spectators. They see a wrestler bridge out for a split second and think the count has to restart at zero. The training manuals are very clear. It does not.
Okay, let's use the broken count scenario to show why the ref keeps counting. So Green has Red exposed. The referee starts the count. 1001, 1002. Red, the defensive wrestler, bridges hard and breaks the angle for just a moment. But Green adjusts immediately, cranks harder, and forces Red right back into the criteria.
Now, if Green never fully lost control, the referee does not restart the count. They just continue right where they left off, 1003.
Which means Green gets a 3-point near fall, even though Red technically broke the criteria, because the control from Green was continuous.
Correct. The count only restarts if the offensive wrestler completely loses control and has to establish a totally new near fall position, maybe on the other side of the body. But if it's a constant battle for that restraining power, the count holds.
That requires incredible mental focus from the official to track both control and time simultaneously, especially with younger athletes who make these sudden, unpredictable moves.
It's why consistency is so crucial. And consistency also brings us to an extremely rare scenario we found, the 5-point near fall.
The mythical 5 points. I mean, what kind of perfect storm of bad luck and great technique is required for that?
It's really an administrative award tied to safety. First, you have to meet the 4-point criteria, so 4 or more seconds of continuous near fall, and the match has to be stopped for an injury or blood that was initiated by the defensive wrestler while they're being held in that exposed position.
So, okay, green has red in a tight cradle. The ref counts through 1,004. The 4 points are already earned. But at 4.5 seconds, red's nose starts bleeding badly, and it forces a blood stoppage before the pin can happen.
5 points to green, 4 for the near fall, plus 1 point awarded for the injury or blood stoppage that happened while green was actively scoring. It's a rule that's designed to prevent a defensive wrestler from, say, faking an injury to avoid a pin, but you almost never see it. It's a powerful reminder that safety is built right into the score sheet.
Let's wrap up with the immediate end game, the technical fall or tech fall. The match ends right away when a 15-point differential is reached.
Well, almost immediately. This is another area where officials have to be incredibly sharp. If the score is 15-0, stop the match. 17-2, stop the match. Except for one crucial moment known as the pin opportunity.
Explain that exception, because it sounds like you could hit the 15-point margin and the match can still keep going.
You can. Let's say the score is 12-0. Green hits a perfect takedown, so the score is now 15-0. Now, if that takedown was executed in such a way that it created an immediate pinning situation in one continuous motion, meaning the opponent's shoulders are already on their way to the mat, the referee must let them wrestle for the pin.
So if the 15-point lead is created by a move that is also a direct pinning attempt, they keep going for the fall. The referee only stops it if the pin is secured or if the pinning motion breaks down.
Exactly. It rewards the aggressive wrestler who's going for the ultimate win. Now, contrast that with another scenario. The score is 14-2. Green executes a tilt and gets 3 seconds of back points. The score is now 17-2. Since the 15-point margin was reached with back points, not a takedown creating an immediate pin, the match stops instantly. No chance to go for the pin. Tech fall, 17-2.
This deep dive has really shown just how much weight the officiating guidelines put on rewarding offense. Mm-hmm. You've got the 3-point takedown, the 1-point boundary rule that keeps action going, and that incredible precision required for those cumulative back counts.
And it all comes back to context. We're talking about NFHS rules, which are made for scholastic wrestlers. These are developing athletes, you know, 6th grade through 12th grade. They have slower processing speeds, less refined muscle control than, say, their college counterparts.
So why does that matter when deciding if a move is a 2-point reversal or a 4-point escape plus takedown?
It matters because the NFHS rules and the officials who follow documents like the MHSAA Blue Book, they have to prioritize the health and safe development of the athlete. So when an official stops a wild scramble and rules it neutral, it might look like they missed a call. But often what they're really doing is avoiding an uncontrolled landing that could injure a young, still developing body.
So the specific mechanics of scoring are really fundamentally intertwined with safety. The whole system is designed to reward clean, definitive action.
Which raises an important question for you, the listener. Now that you know the criteria for the 3-point takedown and that tricky distinction between a 2-point reversal and the 4-point escape plus takedown, what kind of offensive moves do you think high school coaches will be pushing the hardest this season to maximize that new 3-point payoff?
That's definitely something to mull over. Now you have the expert knowledge to watch that next wrestling match like a seasoned official. You are well informed,